Dear church family, before we begin, I just want to read something from the scripture and make a few small points in reference to the importance of the things that we are about to do. The story that I want to read from to you is found in 2 Kings chapter 24. And you probably are aware that when you are reading the life of the kings in Israel and in Judah, you discover that some of them were good kings, but the majority of them, they were bad kings. And the Bible, most of the time, when somebody did bad, they only mention, and they did the evil things in the eyes of the Lord, trying to bring the reader that they are not only doing bad things to other people, but in reality, the one that they were offending the most is God. So the story that I want you to help me and read here with me, if you want to, is found in 2 Kings chapter 24, and it's in reference to one of the last kings in Judah. Now, this king was a direct descendant of David. And remember that God had promised David that his house will remain forever. But now here, this king is confronted with a very difficult situation. So 2 Kings 24, verse 8, this is what the Bible says. Jehoiachin was 18 years of age when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehusha, the daughter of El-Nahan of Jerusalem, and he did the evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. So several things come to my mind right away. How old he was when he became king? 18. So I don't know if you remember how you were when you were 18, but when I was 18, I was a complete fool, you know. Not that I have improved much now at 46, but I think I'm getting a little better. But imagine a teenager now being the most powerful man in this kingdom. All the power at his hand, all the money that he can spend, and all the things that he can do. So that's a really bad combination. On top of that, you have this young man probably being counseled by persons that they didn't care much about God, but they were more concerned with the survival of the kingdom. And the Bible continues saying that he only was in this job for 3 months. It's not like a lot of time. It's 90 days, pretty much. It's not like a long, long time. And in 90 days, this young man find out a way to offend everyone, including God. Because the record that the Bible is setting on him is he did the evil in the eyes of the Lord. Really bad things. We don't know exactly what happened, but we know by the history of the kings that Jerusalem was having serious issues when the people being dishonest, when being assassins, when being treasurers, their religious leaders, they were betraying their vows. Everyone was being against each other. And that's how the Bible describes the last days of this kingdom before the destruction came. Now continue reading with me and you will find another details. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem and the city was besieged, and the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants were besieging it. Then Jehoiachin, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, and his princes, and his officers, went out to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon, in the 8th year of the reign, took him prisoner. So after a small surrounding of the city, and the armies finally get there, this king is arrested, all his family is arrested, and they get deported to this new nation. And I don't know if you can grasp the seriousness of the situation, but I want you to think about here, your country. You are happy living here in Jacksonville or Beach Island or whatever small little town here, right? Nothing bad can happen to you. And out of the blue, this new government invaded the United States, and they came to this tiny town and gave you and get your family and send you back to Canada, for instance, right? Terrible place to be. You know, nothing against the Canadians, but you know. It's something very similar to what is happening to this king. All his power now is gone. All his money and his resources are gone. His friends are no more. He don't have any allies, anyone who can defend him. Now he is to the mercy of this king that it happens to be a very powerful and very strong king. And the reason that he is deported is because he was placed in there in a position of being loyal to this king. But he started plotting with other leaders of the nation and how to be disloyal, and he get punished for that. The Bible mentioned that he spent 37 years in a prison in Babylon as a prisoner there. And 37 is a long time. He entered as an 18-year-old man, and he got out of prison when he was 55. Now his life is gone. He is no longer a king. He is a nobody. He don't have money. Maybe he has some surviving members of his family still alive. And now he is in a place where nobody knows him. And you will think that the life of this man is completely finished. There is nothing left for him to move on. But the Bible also gives you some glimpses of hope, and I want you to go with me and read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52. This is the last chapter in Jeremiah, and it's in reference to the ending of the book. And in the last few verses of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 52, this is what the Bible mentions about this king. And to me, it's very interesting, and I will let you know in a few minutes why. Now, it came to pass that in the 37th year of captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month of the 12th fifth day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, this is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had died, and now his son is in power. King of Babylon, in the fifth year of his reign, lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. This new king, I don't know. God inspired him. Feel some pity and compassion in this man that has been all his life as a prisoner there. And he get out of the prison. Not only that, but continue reading with me. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those kings who were ever with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed from prison garments, and he ate the bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And for his provisions, there were a regular ration given by him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. So several interesting things. Number one, after being a prisoner there, forgotten and rotten in this place, this new king get out of there for no reason whatsoever. The Bible doesn't explain why, but he was free. And not only he was free, but now the king invite him to eat at his table, a place where the most honored and high people of that kingdom were invited. And not only that, but the king want to assure him that every day he will get like a small portion of food. Now, keep in mind, some records mention that this king received barley and oil daily. It wasn't like a fancy amount of food, but it was food that he didn't have to work or do anything. It was given free by the king. So it's several lessons that I think that we should remember. Number one, we can relate to this king, right? Because we used to be prisoners too of Satan. In our previous life, you remember when we used to do the things of this world and we were walking away from God and we were slaves of many bad vices and habits. Somehow God is reaching us and is inviting us to get out of this prison. Not only that, but the Bible says that to the sons and daughters of God, he have given them a new clothing, right? And the Bible described this clothing as righteousness. You remember that? Revelation mentioned that in Revelation chapter 3. And it's a beautiful promise for you, and it's a beautiful promise for me. What is the meaning of this new clothing? It means that God will help you every day to get your character transformed and be a better person, a better human being. When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, I want you to do this once in a while if you have forgotten to do this exercise. Pay attention to who you really are and remember where you came from, because it's important for us to keep these things fresh in our minds. God is working in you, and he continues working in you the same way that he's working in me. He haven't finished yet with me, and I don't think he has finished yet with you. That's what we're still kicking around here. But the Lord has a special plan for you, and he has some promises. Not because we really deserve anything, it's because he had mercy on us. The story of this king is a story of grace. God is offering grace to this king And more than grace, he's giving him blessings every day. It's true that he spent a few years in prison, but that was his own choosing for the bad decisions that he made. But the Lord was there to help him to get out. So you remember Revelation 19 mentioned that it's a special meal prepared in heaven for all the people that finally get there. And God himself will be there, and all the important people of the kingdom will be there. And you and I, we get the blessings to be invited to this special meal. And I don't know what is the menu. I just want to be there, just to be in the presence of these amazing people. And the reason that I mention this is because this king, who used to be a nobody, a prisoner, now is sitting in front of the king. His clothing is changed. He has some dignity, some respect that he didn't have before. And that, to me, is a refreshing story because it reminded me that God has a special place for you and for me in his kingdom. You know, sadly, a lot of people don't want to do anything about when God. In fact, during this week, we hear terrible news of what's going on in this nation. And everyone here have a different opinion about tragedies and about death and different things. I want to tell you that the Bible reminds us all that we are not here to judge anyone. That we are here to represent God. And that God has placed the judgment in his Son. The Bible says that one day will be a judgment day and that Jesus will be there to judge people. And I'm grateful for that because I know Jesus is a compassionate judge, a good Savior. I just want you to remember the families that they are going through many pain, for the people that are suffering everywhere, because tragedy is everywhere. We live in a society and in a world that get through pain every time, all the days. You read sad news and you get surprised that why Jesus haven't come back yet. Honestly, I don't know the answer why. But what I can tell you is that it seems that our society is going into a slow decay. And asking God to help us all, to be a good citizen, a good brother, a good sister, somebody who can make a difference in our communities, in this town, in this city. Today, you and I, we had the opportunity to come to the king's table and renew our covenant with God, with Jesus, through these symbols, the symbol of the bread and the symbol of the juice, that represents Jesus Christ's body and blood. So may God continue blessing you. Meanwhile, we partake of this meal today. Heavenly Father, at this moment, we are asking you for a special blessing for every person represented here, for every child, for every family. Lord, now that we are leaving church, we want to ask you for your presence during the rest of the day, during the rest of the week. Help us to be with you and close to you. In your name, Jesus, we are asking you this. Amen.